Hi, Matt here. We're excited to celebrate a milestone. Think Fast, Talk Smart is approaching our 300th episode. To mark the occasion, I'll be hosting two free Ask Matt Anything events on June 3rd at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll run these on LinkedIn and YouTube, open to everyone around the globe. Before taking your questions, I'll share one of my favorite new communication structures for advancing ideas and arguments. Anyone joining can submit questions online during the event, and a few of our learning community members will have the opportunity to ask me their questions live on video. Don't miss this opportunity to be part of this live AMA on June 3rd. Be sure to sign up on LinkedIn, YouTube, or fastersmarter.io/live. Now a word from one of our sponsors. Their support covers the cost of production, allowing us to bring you quality content free of charge. Language isn't just about words. It's about connection, opportunity, and credibility. That's one reason I like Babbel. It focuses on real-world communication, not just vocabulary drills, but practical conversations you can actually use, whether that's collaborating internationally, traveling for work, or building relationships across cultures. The lessons are short, about 10 minutes, so they fit into busy schedules, and they're designed by more than 200 language experts with tools for listening, speaking, reading, and writing. It adapts to how you learn and helps you track real progress over time. For many of our listeners, whether you're strengthening English skills, adding another language for professional growth, or staying connected globally, it's a practical way to keep moving forward. Babbel has over 25 million subscriptions sold worldwide, offers 14 languages, and every course comes with a 14-day money-back guarantee. If you've ever thought about learning another language, this is a perfect opportunity to start. Right now, Babbel is offering up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/TFTS. That's Babbel, Babbel.com/TFTS for up to 60% off. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, Jenny here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jenny Luna, the founding executive producer of Think Fast, Talk Smart. Welcome to our first premium AMA, Ask Matt Anything. This is a preview, and I'm excited to help you get some questions answered. Our Think Fast, Talk Smart AMAs allow you to directly get your communication questions answered by Matt. And as a Think Fast, Talk Smart premium member, you can submit your questions on our premium portal. You'll not only hear your question answered, but you can hear all other premium members' questions answered. For our general listeners, we will periodically run AMA previews like this one, where you will hear a few of Matt's answers to the AMA questions. So without further ado, let's bring Matt on to answer some of your insightful questions.
Hey, Jenny, great to be here with you. Thank you.
First up, we have a question from Sumiko, and they write, "It is very difficult to listen to others' opinions when we have strong opinions ourselves, especially when it comes to senior leadership, who may not have the technical background to truly grasp a situation. Could you share your thoughts on how I can have more constructive discussions, get alignment, and move forward on a project before losing trust?"
First, Sumiko, thank you for the question. And trust is absolutely critical in all of our communication, so you don't want to lose that. I'm reminded of a skill that Charles Duhigg mentioned in episode 133, and it was called looping, something I call paraphrasing. What's really important in these circumstances is to demonstrate understanding rather than agreement. So you want to show and share that you understand what the person is saying, even though you might not agree. So this notion of looping or paraphrasing is to actually speak back what you've heard. So you're demonstrating that you're trying to understand. And the person can confirm, yes, that's what I meant, or that's not what I meant. So even though you might have some concern or you might have some challenges with the person or their position, demonstrating understanding is really important. If there's power differences and power dynamics, it's really critical to demonstrate that you've heard what they've said and then acknowledge that's one point of view and suggest perhaps through questioning other points of view that might be more in line with what you're thinking. So instead of saying, "I've heard what you said about this, here's what I think," you could say, "I heard what you said about this. What are we thinking about this?" So pose it as a question that can be more appropriate, especially when there are power differences. So use this notion of looping or paraphrasing to acknowledge that you've understood what the person said, and then leverage questions as a way of getting your point across. And I think that will help you maintain the trust that you're looking for.
So it sounds like instead of maybe offering opinion, we could even frame that as a question in order to move the conversation forward and still be building that trust.
Jenny, that was a fantastic job of looping and paraphrasing. Yes, that's exactly what needs to be done. What's the next question?
Thanks, Matt. I think everybody can benefit from that advice. Our next question is from Wendy, and Wendy writes, I recently changed careers from K through 12 teaching to a high impact nonprofit role. I've gone from teaching 20 people in a hands-on classroom to leading virtual tech trainings for 220 adults located all over the world. I find it easy to create the presentation based on your frameworks and my 15 plus years of experience teaching, and I have received very positive feedback. But I want to get better at engaging a large, diverse audience on a webinar. Other than storytelling, what are some other communication techniques that I could use?
Well, Wendy, I think there's a special place in heaven for anybody who has taught K through 12. So first and foremost, thank you for that work. And congratulations on moving to a different career, but still teaching. So what you're really asking about is engagement. And to me, engagement is what I call sustained attention. It's hard to get people's attention. It's really hard to keep it over time, especially when you're virtual. I've written an article for Harvard Business Review on three major ways to engage an audience. Let me share those three with you, and then I'll relate them to virtual communication specifically. The first is physical engagement. Get people doing something. I am sure you remember and learned as an elementary school or high school teacher that when you have your students do something, they're more focused on task and ultimately learn more. So where people's bodies go, their brains follow. So if you can have people writing things down, talking to each other, raising their hands, watching a video, all of those are physical engagement that help you keep your audience focused. Now you contrast it to mental engagement. And mental engagement is gained primarily in two ways. First, asking questions. When somebody asks us questions, our brains perform very differently than when they tell us something. We tend to get more engaged just when somebody asks a question, even if it's rhetorical, where we don't answer that question. So asking questions can be really useful. So too is storytelling. Storytelling is absolutely essential. Human beings are storytelling machines. When I tell you a story, our brain waves actually sync up. Charles Duhigg and I talked about this in the episode we did. It's called cognitive entrainment, where our brain waves actually sync. So if you can tell a story, a brief, relevant story can be really helpful. And then finally, beyond mental and physical engagement is linguistic engagement. And there are really two ways to do this. One is using people's names or the word you. Any inclusive language pulls people in. When we hear the word you or our names, we pay attention. And then we also have time traveling language that we can leverage. I can take everybody into the future simply by saying, imagine what it would be like if, or what if we could, or picture this. That's language that takes you into the future and you begin to see it in your mind's eye. Similarly, I can take you into the past. I can say, remember when. All of that gets you engaged in a way just talking normally doesn't. So when it comes to virtual communication, you can use physical, mental, and linguistic engagement in what you do. I can have people typing into the chat. I can have them raising their virtual hands, using the reactions button. I can ask questions that they respond to through polls. I can show them something and ask them to think about what would that mean for you in the future. So you can combine these techniques, especially when virtual, to have some success. But engagement is hard. I think you can leverage a lot of your skills as a teacher in school to your new role.
Thank you, Matt. I think with everybody now on Zoom and in webinars, that advice will really help a lot of listeners. Our next question is from Naveen, and they ask, how can I better control my body movements during conversations? I move my body, especially my head, a lot. And I realized this after watching my recent office meeting recordings via Teams.
Yes, I really enjoyed my episode with Dana Carney. It was episode 137, where we talked a lot about nonverbal communication, and it's so powerful. What I am so impressed by is that you took time to watch a video of yourself. That's always the advice I give people, that if you want to better understand your nonverbal presence, you need to record yourself and watch and listen. So take the time to record yourself and watch. And I recommend that you actually watch in a couple different ways. One, watch with no sound. Just watch. Then play it again, and this time listen without watching. And then finally to watch and listen together. Each time you will notice different things. Now let's get specific about your particular issue, head movement. A lot of people move their heads when they speak. They probably gesture a lot as well. A great way to slow down head movement or reduce head movement beyond just awareness, which is what the videos will help with, is to pull your shoulder blades down. If you pull your scapula down, it actually tenses up your neck. But when you pull those shoulder blades down, it tenses up your neck a little bit. And in order to move your head side to side, it's a more conscious effort. And in fact, it's almost like you're stretching. So you feel that little stressor against your neck and you're likely not to move it as much. So I'm not saying be rigid. I'm just saying pull those shoulder blades down. And when you do that, it holds your head straight and makes it less likely that you're going to move your head around. So again, I applaud you for watching the video. Working on nonverbal presence can make a huge difference in how people perceive you. You can have amazing things to say, but if you say it in a distracting way because of your nonverbals, it actually degrades your credibility and your message.
Great. Our next question is from Greg, and Greg asks, when talking to people who are experiencing strong feelings, I tend to let that person dominate the conversation, even if I have strong feelings myself. How can I respectfully acknowledge my conversation mate's feelings while ensuring that my voice is heard?
Emotions are tough, especially when somebody has very strong emotions, positive or negative. What's important is to acknowledge the emotion. To have something very emotional happen and ignore it, I think shows you as tone deaf and can be very awkward. But at the same time, you don't want to name the emotion because you might get it wrong. I might say, oh, I'm sorry you're so frustrated. And the person says, I'm not frustrated, I'm angry. Well, now we're debating their emotional state, and that's pulling us away from whatever the communication issue challenge is. So I might say, I hear you're very passionate about this, or I hear you have great concern, or clearly there's big emotion here. So I acknowledge that the emotion exists without labeling it specifically. It is totally okay to acknowledge the emotion and then share your emotion and position as well. This is where paraphrasing can be really useful. I might say something like, I hear you have a lot of passion towards this topic. The paraphrase then becomes a bridge for you to add your piece to it. So I acknowledge the emotion. I paraphrase what I heard you say. I connect it to the environment, what else is going on in the room or the meeting, and then I connect my position to it. So your voice has equal weight in these conversations. And to allow somebody, because they are simply getting emotional, positive or negative, to dominate can be very restricting and not fair. So paraphrasing, I think, is the way that you move that forward once you've acknowledged the emotion.
We'll be right back to finish our conversation. But first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you this show free of charge. When things get busy, and they always do, the real challenge is focus, knowing where to spend your time so you actually make meaningful progress. But that's hard when you're trying to do everything yourself. That's where Upwork can help. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across areas like marketing, development, data and analytics, and more. It gives you fast access to specialized talent so you can move quickly, fill key gaps, and keep your work moving forward without getting stuck. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping your project so you can hire with confidence and get started faster. And if speed really matters, you can connect with top-tier talent and get matched in under 6 hours. It's a simple way to maintain momentum and focus on what matters most. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. If you think about it, a lot of our communication challenges at work aren't about what we say. They're about what never gets clearly shared in the first place, especially as teams grow and change. Processes live in people's heads, explanations vary, and over time, that leads to confusion and inconsistency. This is exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500, Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures what you're doing in real time and automatically turns it into clear, step-by-step guides. No recording, no manual write-ups. So instead of adding one more task to your to-do list, you can just do your work knowing it's being documented for others. As our team has grown, we've spent a lot of time walking people through onboarding, tool transitions, and cross-team workflows. And the reality is, we're often just too busy to stop and properly document all of it. With Scribe, you just turn on the extension, go through the process, and it builds the guide as you go. Something that might take hours or get pushed aside entirely now takes seconds. It also automatically redacts sensitive information so you can share confidently across teams, contractors, and new hires. And anyone following along gets real-time on-screen guidance. So the message isn't just sent, it's actually understood and applied. And what I really appreciate is that Scribe doesn't just document your processes, it helps you improve them by showing you where things could be more consistent, more efficient, and easier to hand off. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/thinkfast. That's scribe.how/thinkfast. And now, back to our conversation.
We have one more question if you have time for it, and it's actually from me. I've recently started a new role, and I think a lot about what we talk about on this podcast with status. So I'm having a lot of one-on-ones as I'm meeting new people in this new role. So I try to really lower my status when I'm in a meeting with someone of lower status. And I try to up my status and seem more powerful when I want to be in a meeting with more powerful leaders. But where I'm getting stuck is when I'm in a meeting with both of those people. So what do you do in a meeting where there's lots of different statuses? How do you find the status to play to?
That's a very challenging situation, Jenny. And first, congratulations on your new role. As you well know, we had a conversation with Jeff Pfeffer, who's an expert on power, Deb Grunfeld, who also studies power. And Deb studies it from exactly the way you worded it, which is how do I act in that way? And power and status is something that we can play with, we can act with. I think for me, coming from a place of gratitude and listening is important. Because when you are the person of higher status or power, and speaking to a subordinate or somebody who's lower in the hierarchy, demonstrating listening is really a gift that you're giving them, and you're leveraging your power and status to listen. When you are dealing with somebody who is higher up in the hierarchy, listening is demonstrating your deference to them, but also saying that, hey, I want to be of assistance and help. So putting yourself in a position where you can listen, I think, is really important. And it could be just by starting the meeting, assuming you're running a meeting, where you could say, I have an agenda that I'd like to cover, but first I'd love to listen to your perspectives on this topic to make sure that we address them as we go. And then start with the person perhaps who has the lower status or power or higher status, listen, paraphrase, because again, paraphrasing is a way to signal that I've really heard you. And then you can begin the conversation after taking into account what they've said. Now, in terms of your body posturing, a lot of our status and power is signaled through what we do with our bodies. So it might be the case that with the person who is subordinate to you, lower in hierarchy or status, you might tilt your head, you might lower your volume a little bit. Those are all signs of deference to lower your status so the other person feels more comfortable. You might actually even leverage hedging language. So instead of saying, we should do this, what do you think? You might say, I think we should do this, what do you think? You hear how that sounds a little lower. You might do exactly the opposite in the same meeting with the person of higher status, where you sit more straight with your head straight rather than tilted. You might use less hedging language and be more direct and say, I really believe we should do this when you're talking to the person of higher status and power. So within the given interaction, you're changing some of your nonverbal presence to be appropriate and match the expectations of those in the room. I look forward to hearing the results of your experiment.
Thank you so much, Matt. A big thank you to Matt Abrahams, and thanks to all of our premium members who submitted their AMA questions. I wanted to add my thanks to all of you for becoming premium members. Think Fast, Talk Smart is all about building community and helping you hone and develop your communication and your careers. all of us here at Think Fast, Talk Smart believe that the global premium community we've created is a great way to achieve these goals. Please check out all of our Think Fast, Talk Smart premium offerings at fastersmarter.io/premium.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you for listening. It really means a lot to hear how people all over the world are using these ideas in their own lives. It inspires me and the whole team that brings you this show. If you want more episodes and resources, feel free to follow, subscribe, and explore past conversations. We're grateful for your support of Think Fast, Talk Smart.